So we're starting a new series, as James mentioned, this summer. We're doing like a wisdom series, so we're looking at scripture, and hopefully it can teach us things about our life, and we can learn things, and we can become better people, right? I don't know, maybe that's the goal. But this morning, instead of trying to kick like a field goal, like, okay, yeah, we're going to get some wisdom here this morning. You're going to get so crammed full of wisdom, you're going to be smart when you go home. Rather, I think I want to take this opportunity this morning to sort of set it up and say, why would we want to do that? Why would we want to look at a Bible, at the book that the last entry, the last person who added something to it, was written almost 2,000 years ago? Is that really relevant to us? Is there anything there for us today? I believe with my whole heart that it is the most relevant book that we can ever read. Even today, it is extremely relevant to us, where we're at, the situations and things that we're doing. My family just moved, and in the moving process, things happen. You pack everything up, and from your old place, you take pictures down, and we haven't put pictures up on our walls yet. We've unpacked a lot of boxes, and I brought some of the pictures that I have with me. This is a picture that a friend of mine took, that we were doing the West Coast Trail together. It's a hike on the west side of Vancouver Island, and it's like a 77-kilometer hike. So some guys, I think the record, a guy did it like in under 20 hours or something crazy like that. It took me 7 days. Yeah. And this is a picture on the trail. From where we started, it was like about, I think, day 5, day 6 is near the end of it. And you come around this point, and during this whole hike, it's on the coast. So some days you can hike on the beach if the tides are low. And I mean, I'm a prairie kid growing up, right? So to be reading tidal charts and try to figure out, can we go on the beach or not, or do we have to go on the trail? Because the trail is hard. It is incredibly hard. It's up and down. This one day, I remember we're coming through the bushes, and like there's knotty roots everywhere, so you can always twist an ankle, so you're being careful. Come through these bushes, and there's like this ravine right there. Boom, there's nothing in front of you. Just like, whoa. And there's ladders. There's 7 stories of ladders straight down. The bottom ladder actually lands on a cable bridge, a suspension bridge. You go across it, and you climb 7 stories of ladders straight back up. And now, when they're measuring 77 kilometers, they're going this way. They're not considering the ups and downs that you're doing every day. And you do that all while you have everything you're carrying for your week. You got your pack on, so you're doing these ladders and things like that. It's crazy. So when you got a chance to hike on the beach, sometimes it was worth it. And this was one of the spots where you're coming around a point, and you're like, can we make it? Can we not make it? And we like to sleep in, because we were never the first ones out on the trail. And we're like, okay, we think we can make it. We can make it. And so we're hurrying. The tide wasn't quite getting low enough, but we heard that there was a rope, okay? So we're coming around this way. This is where we're coming. And this is like the point out this way, and then the land comes back this way. And we heard that there was some rope somewhere hanging that you can find and you can hold on to. And when you come around, all you can see is water and this cave opening, and there's nowhere to go. And you're kind of like, where do you go from here? But there's a rope. And so we're like, okay, good, we got the rope. And we came up and came over, and it was just this beautiful spot. One of the things I remember about this hike, I was 30 years old when I went on it, and for me, how I'm wired, how God has created me, I connect with God when I'm out in nature. I don't know if you're like that. And not always, but sometimes I just feel like I have these moments where I partake in the divine. Like something bigger is going on and I'm experiencing it. Well, on this hike, it was the evening of day 2, so we had been hiking like crazy. Blisters are coming. You're exhausted. Your back's hurting. You're just getting worn down. And I remember just writing in my journal and just like, where are you, God? Where are you? Why haven't I haven't seen you on this trail. I haven't experienced you. What's going on? And I just remember being hurt or sad or tired. I was just down. I was like, this is supposed to like this is like an escape week for me, and I'm going to connect and like get all excited and have this life experience, you know, and I'm just like, where are you? And I started reflecting. I hadn't seen one animal this whole time on this trail, and I thought, this was bizarre. And so just in my quiet time, reflecting, I was kind of like, God, you know, I'd love to see a bald eagle. I think it would be so cool to see a bald eagle. I think it'd just be, can I see a bald eagle? Can I? Like, who am I to ask, right? Like, it's ridiculous. But anyways, that's how I remember my entry. The next day we're going, and it was like this hot day. It was ridiculously hot, and we couldn't go on the beach. We had to go on the trail, and we're going up and down. And I kind of realized I can do this on day three. I realized I could do this because I can take one step, and I could take another step. That I got to that point where all I knew is I could take one more step. I could always take one more step. So I knew I was going to finish this trail. I had that figured out. And we're coming along, and we're just in this thick bush, and it's kind of like these bushes are like kind of making this like wedding archway thing. It was kind of, I remember this. And it was just bizarre. And you're going along, and all of a sudden there's a clearing on this side of the bushes. And on this side, all of a sudden you realize we're at the top of like a 100-foot cliff. Like a sheer cliff, and we had no idea. Like these bushes, the way they're growing are actually keeping us safe, keeping us on the trail. And in this opening, you look and you're just like, whoa, it's just ocean. That's it. Wow, that's crazy. And so we stop, have a little drink, and we keep going along. We came to another one of those. And we look out, just wow, this is crazy. No animals, though. I'm like looking, I want to see a whale, you know, something, I don't know. But there's nothing. And the two guys I'm with are like, hey, let's keep going. So they keep hiking. And I turn like this. So let's say I'm looking at the ocean this way. And I turn, and I see this like this speck in the sky. This just this dot. True story. I'm like, I think that's a bird. Is that? And it's flying this way. And I just sort of stopped. And I wait, and it's getting closer. And I'm like, in my heart, I'm kind of like, I think it's a bald eagle. I think it's a bald eagle. And the other part of me is like, just relax, shut up. No, it's not. It's just a bird. Don't get too excited, Darren. No. It's a bald eagle. It's a bald eagle. I'm sure it's a bald eagle. You know, like it's happening. And anyways, this bird's coming along, flying along, just on the edge, like I think on the updrafts of whatever how birds fly. And it's just, because it's just soaring there, just like wings, not flapping, just coming along. It comes like within like 15 feet of me, right in front of me. Right on by, and it's a bald eagle. I was just like, whoa, that was like, whoa! It was like this, like, I got goosebumps, I'm excited. Yes, there is a God, you know, like it's just like one of those moments where you're just like, and I keep on hiking, and I saw lots of other animals on that trip. But when I see this picture reminds me of that. Another picture I found lying around our house is this picture. It's me, Shauna, and Emery. Emery's our firstborn. And he isn't even a week old in that picture. It's one of those things you do with your firstborn, and some of you get that. Our child, who's number 5, is going to be like, am I adopted? I wish it was that easy today. No. I remember Emery coming home, and our first night at home with him, and he, like, so there's no nurses around, it's just Shauna and I, we have him home, and we got this little bassinet for him to sleep in, and Justin and Jasmine are probably know exactly what I'm talking about, and I remember, like, sitting there and just being like, he's sleeping there, what do we do? I don't know what we're supposed to do, but he's there. Woo, I'm a dad, you know? And like, it's just like this weird moment. You don't know what you're supposed to do, what's going on. And well, people say when they sleep, we should sleep. So let's sleep, I guess, right? Like, and so you lay down and laying there and you feel sleep coming. This little baby keeps like breathing and making these weird noises that I'm not used to. And it's just like, man, if he would just be quiet for like 5 seconds. I'm sure I could fall asleep. And finally he's quiet. Like after like hours of this or whatever, I don't know. If I just remember like this moment of, oh, he's quiet. Oh, good. Is he still alive? Man, I wish he'd make a noise. that's when I realized, parents, the reason you're crazy is, well, we can't help it. It's just, it's the process. And so when I see this picture, when I look back at this picture, that's one of the things I remember. I remember, like, man, I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing in parenting. It's hard. Some days I'm making it up. Other days I'm coming back to it and I'm saying, man, I'm sorry, guys. I blew up. I messed up. Can you forgive me? Other days I feel kind of quasi good about it. Like, yeah, I think I can do this parenting thing. Here's another picture we have around our house. This is a painting. It's called Cityscape. And Gord thought he was just going to hide behind a post this morning. Okay. Shauna bought this painting quite a few years ago now. It was about 2007. That winter, a couple significant things happened in our life. Shauna lost two grandparents, like a great-grandmother and a grandmother, within a matter of weeks, all around Christmas time. And when I see this picture, like, I don't really see, like, there's kind of like this sort of like a city line kind of hidden in it. I sit there and I look at it and I see that city line and I wonder, hey, one day am I going to end up in some big city where it's all full of people like that? I don't know. And then I usually come back to the fact that what happened that winter, that we lost people that were close to us. Shauna lost people that she had known her whole life. And I realize, man, we can build these big buildings, but it's just all going to come to an end one day. So no matter what things I have that are secure or what I put my hope in, man, one day it's all going to end. And that's the reality for all of us. It's not just for some of us, it's for all of us. It's kind of a weird thought to have with a picture that's so bright, isn't it? One of the things that I get excited about with Scripture is how there's themes that run through it. Okay, so like there's an idea that sometimes goes through Scripture. And one of the ideas that goes through Scripture is building a building. And I think it's a pretty cool theme and picture, cool idea, because some of us have built buildings. Or you've witnessed it, or you see it happening around you, or you're like me and you watch HGTV and think you can do it, but you get to witness it and yell at them and be like, oh, you're so stupid, can't you figure this out, you know? But it's there, and we see buildings happening and things getting built, and built poorly or built well. This morning I didn't have time to grab my yo-yo, but I wanted to show you a yo-yo, because if you picture it, it's just a string with a weight hanging on it. They actually call that something else when it's like that, a string with a weight hanging on it. They call it a plumb line. And back in the day, long time ago, they would use a plumb line to make sure something was straight when they're building a wall. Yeah, Bill knows what I'm talking about. And they would hang it up and they'd put it next to the wall, because sometimes when you're building something, you're looking like at the tree in the background, you're kind of like, oh yeah, I think it's straight, you know, and then you come around this other way and you're like, oh, it's so crooked, you know. But a string with a weight hanging on it hangs straight. It gives you a straight line. It gives you a reference point for your building. So no matter where you went into the building, you're like, oh, I need to check, is that straight? And you hang it up and it's there. Yeah, it's straight. This idea goes through Scripture of building, and even it comes up a couple times where God's saying, I'm pulling out the plumb line, and I'm going to measure you all, and I'm going to see if you're straight. In Amos, he's one of the prophets, a minor prophet. He has this vision with God. And in chapter 7, and in this vision, God's saying, like, this is before the exile happens, okay? Before the Israelites totally get, like, smushed. Like, they get shipped off to other countries. They get oppressed really bad. God's saying, sends this vision to Amos. And Amos, twice happens, God's saying, this is going to happen, something bad. There's these locusts, they're going to come, they're going to eat everything. It's going to be really bad for Israel. And Amos pleads with God. He says, but God, come on, you're gracious. I know you are. And God relents. And then fire comes, and it's going to burn everything up. And Amos is hurt. And they're like, but God, come on, I know you love, these are your people. God's like, yeah, you're right. And the next thing he sees in the vision is the Lord standing there with a plumb line by a wall that was built with a plumb line. And he's referencing the Torah, so like the first five books of the Bible, which is what the Israelites were given to sort of say, this is what God expects of you. And here's what it looks like. It's a straight wall. And God says, I'm going to walk through everyone. And I'm going to go to these high places where you've built these false spots of worship, false gods. And they're crooked. And Amos can see when God's holding the plumb line just how crooked they are. And he knows a crooked wall is not going to stand. A crooked wall is going to fall. And he knows God's right. That there is an end for Israel's time coming. Another verse that I see this come up in is in Timothy. In 2 Timothy, it's in your notes, I think, as well. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Do you live your life like that? Do I live my life like that? That scripture has something for us to live our life by? Like, frankly, when I read this, I think of what I can do for others. I can read the Bible and I can tell you what to do. I can rebuke you. I think we do that well, or I'm going to correct you, or I'm going to train you. But Paul's writing this to Timothy, and Timothy's reading this for himself. And I believe this is a letter that's written to us, and we read it to ourselves. So all scripture falls under that for us. See, the verse I have for that first picture. See, I think everyone has moments in nature. Everyone. Because of this verse. This is Romans chapter 1:20. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, so invisible things about God, are seen and experienced in nature. His eternal power, his divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. See, I think the reason we can go into nature and have these moments isn't so that we have this like selfish thing or whatever. We're like, oh yes, there's something out there. It's good, it's powerful, it's peaceful. Oh, that's so good. But we need to come back to the scripture, and that's where we find out what God really is like and what he really desires for us. And those things that we're experiencing, yeah, that's true. That's God. You're experiencing him. But when we bring it back to scripture, we can see and we can go, that experience I had, was it a little crooked? Was it a full, complete experience of God? Is there more there I can learn about him? And we read scripture and kind of straightens it out. Yeah, right, I'm not going to get that straight, am I? Or with raising kids. This is one of my favorite passages because it inspires me as a dad. This is in Deuteronomy. This is Moses saying to the people before they go in the promised land, you got to remember some things. Things are going to happen, and you're going to have kids, you're going to have families, and they're not going to know. They haven't experienced the things that you experienced to know that there really is a God. They haven't seen it firsthand. And he's just saying, so these commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. I think that part we love to do. I think that's the easy part, impress them, right? It's like, no, this is what you got to do. This is right. That's wrong, right? But I think he expands it here. And he's like, tell them stories. Tell them stories. We didn't always live in a nice house like this. You know that? It was really, really hard for us for a long time. And we didn't know where we were going to end up. Dad lost his job. Mom was doing all the work at that time. It was really hard. This was before you guys were born. And we cried together all the time. And we cried out to God and just said, why are we here, God? What's going on? And that's when something happened. And you tell these stories with your kids because, man, I know there's all these stories I know about my parents that where I know part of it, but I don't remember all of it. Or how does it? Where's the prayer in that story? Or what's the like? So when we have these conversations with our kids, we're actually just passing faith on, and we're kind of giving the reason behind some of our convictions. Sometime, yeah, I don't do that anymore because of this or this happened, or when I read the Bible this comes clearly to me, and I just don't do that. One day you're going to have to decide for yourself, but right now I don't want you doing that either. So as a parent, this encourages me. The second reason it also encourages me, this might sound weird, but man, God is so real and so authentic with each of us. We all experience him differently. And that even happens when we're reading our Bible sometimes. Different things jump out at us. And we can all read the same story, and we're all going to hear it differently. And I think when it comes to parenting, God's given us all the same instructions, and we're all processing it differently. But we got to keep coming back to God and back to his scripture and through prayer and saying, okay, God, what is it that you're really trying to tell me? And he'll reveal it. And it might be different things to different ones of us at different times. And that causes conflict, right? Because when my kids were 10, this is what we did. That's what you got to do. But that doesn't mean it doesn't work. This is going to work for them. But when we pray, we go back to the same God. And he works in both of our hearts. Another verse for this last painting, Ecclesiastes. So this is written by Solomon, really smart guy. Sort of sits down and he writes this letter, right? And at the beginning here, or at this part in chapter 3, he says, there's a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. A time to be born and a time to die. Scripture says it quite clearly. In Hebrews, it also, when I was looking at this verse, it made me think of this one, Hebrews 9. We're going to die once, all of us. And after our death, we're going to face judgment. That's just the reality. That's the way God made things to be. And he gave us his word. Today my Bible is electronic, so I'm holding this up. I don't have another Bible here. But he gave us his word. And it can be kind of scary to think, okay, Darren, you're saying Scripture's this plumb line. Well, we can't measure up to it. The Israelites showed us that. We're always going to be crooked. What happens next? Themes of this plumb line go throughout Scripture. There's a guy, did I put him here? Yeah. Isaiah. He's a prophet. Another prophet. And Isaiah in 28, he has this vision with God. And he's talking to these people who are comfortable. To people who think they got it figured out. They're okay. He's talking to the nation at the time. And they're kind of saying, you know what? Yeah, trouble's coming, but we've got Egypt. Egypt's going to save us. We're going to be fine. And he's saying, no, you guys don't get it. So this is what the Sovereign Lord says. See, I lay a stone in Zion, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone for a sure foundation. The one who relies on it will never be stricken with panic. I will make justice the measuring line and righteousness the plumb line. Okay, so righteousness is the plumb line, okay? Man, we're not very righteous on our own. But some of you might have caught, there's another building term in there. A cornerstone. Now, in ancient times, when they go to build their building, they would start at a corner. And this block in the corner would be like have the true angles on it, right? So if it's like, are we going the right way? I don't know. I come back to the cornerstone, kind of look. Yeah, no, we're doing good. It's all lining up. Who's he talking about? Who's the cornerstone? Jesus. Jesus is the cornerstone. And those who build their life on Jesus, if that's your foundation, the one who relies on it, will never be stricken with panic. So we have one life to live. And afterwards we're going to face judgment. But if we build this life on Jesus, we don't have to worry. We don't have to panic. Why? Because God, look, because of Jesus, when we say, okay, Jesus, you paid it all. You're the Lord. I believe it. I believe that you died, that you rose again. And because of that, I have a hope for eternity. God says our life is built on Jesus. And God looks down, and this sanctification process plays out in a couple ways, right? There's one where God looks down and says, yep, you're sanctified. And God sees us as Jesus, the righteousness of Jesus. So if he pulls out the line, say, are you measured straight? Yep, we're measured straight. But then there's this ongoing process of working things out every day. So when I come to my Bible time, when I come to read the Bible, I'm looking at it in a new light. An exciting light. There's freedom there where I say, okay, thank you, Jesus, for what you have done for me. That right now in this moment when I read your word, I can come before the God who created everything, and I get to read your words to me. And I don't have to beat myself up and be like, oh, I got to do that better. But rather, I recognize the conviction of the Spirit. And I say, okay, I hear you, God. I'm not doing that very well. I'm not. What do I do? Okay, you help me with that? He says, yeah. We can say, okay, let's do it. And we move on. And there's this process where God's going to work out in our hearts every day. And then hopefully at the end of our lives, we look a little more like Jesus than we did at the beginning of our lives. And that's not anything we can boast in. That's God. That's Jesus living in us and changing us. So I hope this summer, I hope you take some time to read through your Bible. I hope you pick a plan. I hope you decide, okay, summer, yeah, it's a little different. I'm going to do this devotional with this reading plan, or I'm just going to read through the wisdom literature this summer. Whatever it is, I hope you pick a plan and you stick with it and you come to it and you say, okay, thank you, Jesus, that you have saved me. Thank you, Jesus, that I get to hang out with you right now. And I just want to be open to what you have for me as I read this right now. And Jesus, can you take some of that crookedness in me and make it straighter? Make me to be a little more like you. Now, if you don't have this and you don't know what I'm talking about with Jesus, it's available for you today. And you don't have to pay anything. You don't have to sign anything. It's just between you and God right now. And my challenge to those who are wrestling with that and saying, yeah, I think I want that. I want to step into that. My challenge for you is to tell someone. Tell someone who you trust, who you see Jesus is already living in their life and he's changing them and he's working on them. You tell them and say, hey, I'm going to take this step. I'm going to put my trust in Jesus. Can you pray for me? Can you pray with me? And for those of us who already have this, one thing I want to encourage you is we're not supposed to do it alone. Like, don't make it this private thing either, where we just go and we just keep it to ourselves. Look, we're in a room full of people, and probably most of us already have Christ living in us. Share those stories with each other. Share about what Jesus is doing in your life. Share what's going on. Share the ups. Share the downs. Pray for one another. We're not supposed to do this by ourselves. The worship team can come up. I just want to close in prayer and thank you for listening to me so well. I wanted to bring candy this morning and hand it out to you, but then I was like, I'm coming from this sick home. You don't want anything that I touch, so I wasn't going to give you any candy. Maybe next time. I think I'm preaching again later this summer. Yeah. Let's pray. God, you're good. And your love endures forever. Thank you for this time that we could just hang out. I could share some pictures, some things that you've done in my life, Father. Thank you for the work that you're doing in my life, Jesus. Thank you for the work that you're doing in the lives of every person that's in this room. Thank you for the work that you're doing in the lives of people that we pray for regularly. We might not see it, but Lord Jesus, we just trust you. Thank you for your word. I love you. Amen.